Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter that we heard read earlier. It was a scandalous beginning. According to Jewish custom, betrothal was a binding contract lasting for about 1 year, where the betrothed girl was legally the man's wife. With the exception, they didn't live together and they had no sexual relations. Our culture tends to shape what we think is right and wrong. And Joseph's situation in our gospel text this morning, today, is not considered that big of a deal. It's common for people to engage in sex outside of wedlock. It's common for couples to have children outside of marriage. And on occasion, you'll even hear of a man marrying a different woman, or marrying a woman who's carrying someone else's child. But Joseph's world was much different than ours. He discovered that his betrothed was with child. And for him, it had to be a punch in the gut. What was he supposed to do but jump immediately to the most logical conclusion? His betrothed had cheated upon him. He wasn't a dummy. He knows where babies come from. So how could it be? Virgins don't become pregnant. Mary says the child is conceived by the Holy Spirit, but yeah, who's going to believe that story? Joseph had a couple choices. He could keep his wife, keep her child, and endure a lifetime of public mocking for being the stepfather of an illegitimate child, or according to Jewish law, he could have her stoned to death. At the very least, he could divorce her. Joseph, being a just and compassionate man, not wanting to make Mary's situation any worse than it already was for her, planned to divorce her quietly. And as he considers his decision, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save people from their sins." And so becomes the incarnation. The incarnation, the doctrine of God taking on the flesh of man, becoming the divine God-man who enters his own creation to save sinners from their sins. Well, now Joseph has new information. Now what is he supposed to do? Does he trust what his eyes see? Or does he trust what his ears have heard? What he sees is rational. He sees that his wife has cheated on him, and he has every right to divorce her. But with his ears, he hears an angel addressing him as Joseph, son of David. That's not his dad. David, oh yeah, speaking of King David, to whom God had promised a descendant who would become the Messiah. He hears the angel speaking fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, a virgin conceiving and bearing a God-man who would save people from their sins. Joseph can trust in what he sees and leave Mary behind, or he can trust in what he has heard. The word of God proclaimed from the angel that he's going to be the stepdad of the Son of God. Many times things are not as they appear to the eye. People of God, we walk by faith, not by sight. And that God-given faith comes through hearing and hearing the word of God. Things don't always appear as they look. When Jesus was born, he did not look like the Son of God. He doesn't look like any kind of royalty. He looks like a baby born into poverty, wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in an animal's feed trough. His first visitors don't look like those who would be coming to visit royalty. They're dirty and smelly shepherds who've been out in the pasture, who come by faith, come to Bethlehem, believing the word of God spoken to them by an angel, saying, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Many years later, when Jesus approaches John the Baptist at the Jordan River, among the crowds, Jesus just looks like another ordinary man. That is, until John the Baptist points him out, saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And on Mount Calvary, Jesus looks like another criminal, probably the worst. He's in the middle, flanked by two other criminals. He looks as if someone receiving what he deserves, death on a cross. But contrary to all appearances, the Roman centurion standing by, standing watch, he hears Jesus' words from the cross. And he is the only one on that hill that day to confess, "Truly, this was the Son of God." In our gospel text, Joseph can trust what his eyes see or what his ears hear. What he sees is rational, cheating wife whom he can divorce. He's got every right. He can never look back and go on with his life. But now, through the angel, he has heard God's word proclaimed, prophecy from Isaiah, and that word is feeding his faith the same way God's word feeds your faith today. He hears the angel preaching a sermon that Mary has conceived by the Holy Spirit. And by faith in God's word, Joseph wakes from the dream and does exactly what the angel commands. He takes Mary as his wife. Mary gives birth to a child, and Joseph calls his name Jesus. Culture shapes what we think is right and wrong. It's specifically, it's the world, your sinful flesh, and the devil who shape what you believe is right and wrong. They are what cause you to trust in what you see rather than what you hear from God's word. The world, the devil, and your sinful flesh tell you that you're really not that bad of a person, because you go out into the world and you can say to yourself, "Well, look at all those people over there. They're much worse than I. They're drunks, they're addicts, they're pedophiles, perverts, and drug peddlers. I have to be much better than they are." But it doesn't matter what those people look like. It doesn't matter how good you think you look. What matters is what God's word says you are. God's word says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God's word says the wages of sin is death. You may not be able to see it with your own eyes, but you need a Savior. Maybe you can see it with your eyes. Your pastor needs a Savior. The whole world needs a Savior. All mankind has been infected by a disease called sin, handed down through the generations from our ancestor Adam. And that disease has blurred our vision so that we cannot see things clearly. You see that you can be a really good person apart from faith in Christ Jesus. You see that you can come before God on your own and bargain with Him on your own accord, on your own terms. You see that you don't have to be regular at receiving word and sacrament for salvation. My friends, don't be deceived. You're not seeing clearly. You don't see God's commands as commands, but as optional suggestions. You see His commands as a hindrance to your own desires, your pleasures, and life goals. You see the rest of the world and even your family and friends chasing after wealth and power, comfort and security, and every desire of the flesh. They exchange the truth of God's word for lies and myths, and you give approval to them. And not only give approval, but you eventually take those activities upon yourselves. Culture shapes what we think is right and wrong. However, just as sure as the grass withers and the flower fades, the word of our God will stand forever. It might not look like it to you with your eyes. It might be scandalous to your ears. But you and I are in need of a Savior. Brothers and sisters in Christ, now is the time. The advent is upon us of our Lord's return. Examine yourself against the Ten Commandments. Repent of your sins and hear Jesus' word of absolution. I forgive your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. People of God, walk by faith, not by sight. And that God-given faith comes through hearing and hearing the word of God. To the people in Joseph's hometown of Nazareth, it was a scandal. Joseph, hometown boy, marries a girl who's out sleeping around. Yet Joseph didn't trust in what he saw, but in what he heard from God's word. He heard God's word proclaimed by an angel, and he trusted. The child conceived in the womb of Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. And the child's purpose in life is revealed in his name. Isaiah says, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. The angel told Joseph to name the child Jesus, the Greek form of an ancient name, Joshua, which means Yahweh saves. Joseph named him Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. God left the glory of heaven to become servant of all, saving mankind, not in power and might, but in weakness, in humble means, humiliation, and a sacrificial death upon a cross. The eternal Son of God took upon flesh just like yours so that it could be flayed and beaten and nailed to a cross, pierced with a spear, in order to be your Savior. Do you trust in what your eyes see? Does God in the flesh of man dying on the cross, does that look like salvation to you? Does it make sense? Scripture refers to it as the scandal of the cross. Christ crucified for sinners. Should you look for another Savior? Or should you trust in what your ears hear from God's holy word, that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as ransom for many? From God's word that says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And what is that name? Joseph named the child Jesus, which means Yahweh saves. Yet Jesus still remains Emmanuel, God with us. St. John's Gospel describes the incarnation as the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word become flesh, and he is present and active in the preaching of his Word, creating and sustaining life-saving faith within you, forgiving you of your sins, strengthening you to walk by faith, not by sight, strengthening you to endeavor to keep God's holy commandments, his good and gracious will for your lives. Jesus is likewise Emmanuel, God with us, in the sacrament of the altar, where he gives you his very own body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. That very same body and blood conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. It's by his word that you know that he comes to you personally, carrying out his purpose, that is, to save you. Your eyes see bread and wine, but your ears hear, "This is my body, this is my blood, given for you." This is Emmanuel, God with you in his Holy Supper, in his very body and blood. The people of God walk by faith, not by sight. And that God-given faith comes through hearing and hearing the Word of God. Working through the Word and sacrament, the Holy Spirit speeds you on your way. Speeds you on your way in faith, pouring out God's undeserved kindness and favor, enabling you to resist the shaping of culture, and also to bring out in you obedience in the fruits of your faith, pouring out for the love that you have in Christ. You can see what it did in Joseph's life. At the beginning of our text, Joseph was in unbelief. At the end, he's a man of faith. And God's word does that in your life too. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.